Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Grant Sachs and Jason McGovern of Last Word on Spurs. And in the news there, we were talking about the very slight possibility of impending thermonuclear war between America and Iran. And the response of Jason McGovern was, well, we better sign someone before then. We are talking transfers this evening. The first name on the agenda is, of course, Ndombele. And Grant, it's looking like this is actually going to happen.
I don't want to get my hopes up just yet. Obviously, the rumours are flying around that a fee is looking like it possibly could be agreed. There's also other teams in there for him, but we are the front runners. Looking at the player, he's a guy I think that all of us would crave to have. He's 22 years old. He actually made the French Team of the Year last year in the Ligue 1. So he's definitely a player Tottenham want, and I think we'd all crave to get him, definitely.
Have there been moments, because I know, Jason, that you're sceptical about transfer rumours, and I'm just wondering whether this is because you've had your heart broken in the past. Have there been other deals that have been widely touted to happen that you've got excited about and then have fallen through?
Well, isn't that the case with every club? And
yeah.
I mean, Rick, we take the mickey out of Ricky, but every time I see him tweet Tuto Mercato, I think... You know, we haven't bought a player or sold a player to Italy for about 7 years since Lamella, and yet we must have been linked with 75 players from Italy or to Italy. So I just, you know, when you're talking about the football and you see the result on a Saturday, you're talking about the facts. You've seen what's genuinely happened. With the transfers, we actually have no idea what players we've bid for, how much the bid is, how much the terms we've offered, which other clubs are
or
in the race.
How close it is.
And a journalist will come on and it may be, I don't know, Henry Winter or Martin Samuel, and they'll write that Pochettino's going to Man United and Harry Kane's going to Madrid, and we'll give them a right slating and say they write absolute rubbish, these players, and yet we instantly believe them when they do a Tottenham transfer story inward. So, no, it's not that. I just wait till August, mate, and then I'll see who we've bought.
I think that's spot on. I mean, I think we've had the years of players like Leandro Damião being a done deal. I mean, that was one.
How many years was that? Sort of 53?
Is Malcolm the new Leandro Damião?
I think...
So we're linked with Malcolm.
He's up there, change, definitely Leandro. He's pretty much already played for Tottenham, but he's still not joined along those lines.
Were you pleased that you didn't get Damião in the end? Because he didn't ever quite hit the lofty heights he was tipped for.
God, how long ago was that now?
About five seasons ago, maybe? Was it under Harry?
You just don't know, do you? I mean, you know, we was talking outside, and I still look back and say Roberto Soldado was a brilliant deal for Tottenham. At the time, when you looked at the profile of club we were and the profile that Soldado had, it looked a fantastic signing. It became an absolute nightmare signing.
It did. It just never cut.
And yet, you know, it can go the other way when somebody like when we first signed Wanyama, and everyone was, "Well, why are we signing Wanyama? He's nothing." And yet, he was an absolute beast for a year. So, let him wear the shirt, and then judge it then.
Mm. You'll be pleased to hear that Leandro Damião is currently banging in goals in the J-League in Japan. Wow. He's turning up for Kawasaki Frontale, and he's got 5-11 so far this season. So that's what you're missing out on.
I bet the wage out there isn't too bad for him. I bet he's done well there, absolutely.
You would have thought not. Do you think that Ndombele is a likely deal, Grant?
I believe it's the deal that, I mean, again, out of the players we've been linked with, everyone but he wants. I think... Everybody's notified the idea of the dream of maybe having him and Musa in the middle, Musa Sissoko, has the real potential to really work. I think everybody feels that would be the one player that would really, really improve us in the middle there, definitely. What do you think, Jace?
Yeah, it seems to be... I certainly wouldn't be surprised if it does go through. Seems to be the player that we've been calling out for. Everything you see of him looks fantastic, but as I say, I've seen fantastic players arrive and be awful. I've seen awful players arrive and be great, so... Let's just see how he is. But, I mean, certainly he's the powerhouse and he is the Moussa Dembele-type player that we've been craving for, really, for 18 months, probably.
It's now looking like he is going to sign, not just because he's been linked to the club for so long, but because the fee that's being talked about isn't changing. The other clubs, the Uniteds, the Juventuses, seem to be dropping out of the frame. And also, we saw this week Ndombele come out and say, listen, Spurs, fourth in the Premier League, Champions League runners-up, who wouldn't want to play for a club like that? How important was that Champions League final in terms of your transfer window?
Well, I said at the time, regardless of the result in it, it did put Tottenham onto a level where players around Europe that would look at Spurs in the past and think, yeah, they're a promising club, but they're not going to do anything. You know, the fact that you're in a Champions League final suggests that you are pushing for trophies and you are becoming at that very next level. We are a Borussia Dortmund style. Mm. We are a Atletico Madrid style club. We may not be the main attraction in the country like Bayern and Real Madrid are, but and you know, obviously you've got Manchester City and Liverpool now, but we are getting to that stage. And I think, you know, it was definitely important to get to that final.
I was going to say, the thing is, you're obviously making the Champions League final. Everybody knew Tottenham Hotspur. But when you make the Champions League final, everybody really knows Tottenham Hotspur then. And we was in the Champions League final, so that obviously has put us out there on the headlights for everybody to see.
Wonderful stuff. We are, of course, giving you updates throughout the Women's World Cup fixtures tonight here on Love Sport Radio. We've got a Women's World Cup show every Friday night, 7 till 8 as well. Have you guys been following the Lionesses?
I followed the Lionesses. I did catch an eyelid of the Scotland-Argentina game last night. A bit stunned by the indecision, as it was back and forward. But no, obviously, hopefully the ladies can do the job for us in Britain, and obviously, and hopefully it will come home, definitely.
It's currently Sweden 0, the USA 1, by the way, in their game. USA looking very, very potent in this tournament. It took them just 3 minutes to take the lead through Lindsay Horan. But Grant, you bring up that controversy last night in the Scotland game. The VAR ridiculous, which is something we've seen throughout this tournament. Does it make you think ahead of next season, where we're going to have VAR in the Premier League, that perhaps this isn't what we need?
Well, I just think if you look at that penalty last night, the majority of penalties last season, if you look at it with this rule, you'd have to rule up probably every single penalty last season, basically if the keepers come off the line. It's just unbelievable. I mean, we were saying outside myself and Jason, I mean, you're literally judging it by centimetres. I can understand if the keepers come off miles off the line, but you're talking margins.
But when we're looking at penalty saves as well, the keeper always comes off his or her line by 6 inches, don't they? That's part of making the save.
It's just the way it is, isn't it? I'm really curious to see how it works. I was a big believer when they first started to go to VAR. I was fully behind it. I thought, yep, it will stop the diving cheats and it will stop some of the scrums you see at corners and things like that. But as you've seen it used more, I get the impression players in time will get really cute to it and they'll understand how VAR works and they'll manipulate it in their way, where you will now see players doing like Mane in the final, aiming for an arm, which they would never have done in the past.
Do you think Mane was aiming for an arm?
I think quite possibly. I mean, to me, it was just never a penalty. In a million years, there's not a penalty without VAR. But I think you will get clubs you will get defenders throwing themselves to the ground at corners when they're defending it and things like that. It will change the way the game's played, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think also the problem is the VAR came in to obviously make clear-cut decisions. I believe that some of these decisions are still being judged on matter of opinion of what the referee believes and what he feels is the right or the wrong thing.
And also, they're meant to make the decision using it where the decision is clear and obvious. And if we look back to men's international football and that Jesse Lingard goal against Holland that was ruled offside when, you know, a bit of his toenail was marginally offside. That's not clear and it's not obvious. Is the problem that VAR is not getting used for what it's for?
Offside is offside, isn't it? So, you know, the fact it's a toe, then so be it. It's how do you deem a shirt pull being strong enough for a penalty or not and things like that. And my only problem when I see decisions given on it is this notion that there's contact between play, and I think, yeah, there's contact, but it's not a foul. There's a difference between a foul and contact.
But is it easier to get refereeing right, as it were, to standardise it if we say, listen, there's contact with the player and not the ball, it's a foul, and you know then what a foul is and what it isn't?
Well, you're right. I think it might help things in black and white, but I just think players will. They're clever players. They find ways to try and get the benefit of decisions.
And you'll see them getting as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like you're seeing decisions happen as well in the game there, where we're watching the game and we don't even realise something's happened. You go back and all of a sudden a player's, it might have brushed someone. It's just, some of these things are impossible to see or impossible to judge at the time, but they're looking at it with a real magnifying glass, with this VAR. And for us as fans, it's either heartbreaking or it's just, it's all over the place.
Well, so far in the Women's World Cup, we've had a night off from VAR controversy, but it's only 12 minutes in. The score currently, Sweden 0, USA 1, and Thailand 0, Chile 0. Coming up, more transfers.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we're talking transfers. An encouraging sign for Tottenham in this window is that the names you're being linked with aren't going away. Tongi Ndombele is a name that's been hanging around. Another is Giovanni Lo Celso. Reports indicate that Real Betis now have absolute confidence that their valuation of Spurs target Giovanni Lo Celso will be met. That valuation is around the £70 million mark. Is Levy really going to shell out?
Well, this is the summer he has to. I mean, we've gone to that point now where he has to. This is the summer he has to do it. We've reached a certain level now as to where the club is at, where if we're going to move on, there has to be signings, absolutely.
Well, we'll see. They say it will be met, but they don't say it's going to be met by Tottenham, do they?
No, that's a very good point. But so, I can't see other major clubs prowling at the moment. Mm. That's not to say they won't be, but the links haven't been there.
It'll be interesting to see if it is tied in amongst the Eriksen deal. I would like him to come in to replace Eric Lamella, but the muted deal seems to be that if he comes in, we lose Eriksen. So right. To me, that's not making the squad stronger or deeper. I'd love to sign him and keep Eriksen.
I've not heard any rumours of Eric possibly leaving this summer yet at all. I mean, again, I think if he was to go, it'd be one of them players that, in a way, he's had a few good moments at Tottenham, but he's never really hit the heights that we was expecting him to.
Where do you, as Spurs fans, stand on Lamella? What's the general view?
I think he's a very talented player. You can see that the talent in Eric Lamella, but sadly, it's what, 5-6 years. Mm. We haven't seen it anywhere near consistently enough. I'm really struggling to think of the last time I saw Eric Lamella have what I call a really good game.
Didn't it involve a rubana?
Well, there you go. And it tends to be the moments you remember of Lamella, mm. Little bits of aggravation with Fabregas and Jack Wilshere and a rubana and a cute pass here. But it's not a 90-minute. No. It's not a Lucas Moura in Ajax, is it?
Unfortunately, it's not.
Nothing like that. And when I look at Lucas Moura over his 18 months, he's done far more. Taking Ajax away, the two goals he got at Old Trafford and things like that. He's done far more for Tottenham in 18 months than Lamella's done in 5 years.
I was going to say, again, I think Eric actually had quite a good start to this season. Also, a good end to the season before that. He scored a few goals and he got a few assists, and I think there was a bit of a hope there that
we're going to start.
We was going to see a different Eric come out, and maybe this will be that he'll try and maybe even be the main man, but he's just never reached those heights, unfortunately.
It's just the consistency in performances from him just isn't there, and then so many injury problems when the squad's thin. You need players that you can count on.
Yeah, he's been riddled with injuries, to be fair, Eric, in some departments. Yeah. So that's caused a big setback.
We've got a caller on the line. Adrian is getting in touch from Edmonton. Good evening, Adrian. Thanks for your call. Would you hold on to Lamella?
Yeah, I would, as a squad player, yeah. I'm encouraged by the transfer window, though, because I don't see a lot of big clubs coming in for players that we actually want. I mean,
is that potentially worrying, though, Adrian? Because you can look at it either way. You can go, Spurs have done their scouting brilliantly, or you can go, well, hang on a minute, why don't PSG want Ndombele? Are you with us, Adrian?
Sorry?
Are you with us? I mean, are you encouraged that no one's coming in for these players, or might there be
I think there's reasons behind it. I mean, the bigger rivals for us in the Premier League are Man City and Liverpool, and like, Liverpool seem to want another striker. Man City just bought Rodri, haven't they? Arsenal don't seem to have the money. Chelsea have got a transfer embargo, haven't they? You know, and Man United aren't in the Champions League. If you look to Europe, Real Madrid have spent £330 million and can't make up their mind whether they want Eriksen or Pogba, although Eriksen's a cheaper option. And I'm not sure about the situation at Barcelona, but I know that PSG have also got unload players. And Real Madrid are trying to offer Spurs player plus cash for Eriksen, aren't they?
Do you think what we're seeing, Adrian, is financial fair play finally starting to level the playing field? Adrian?
Hello? I couldn't pick you up there. I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry about this. Might be a bad line.
Do you think financial fair play is levelling the playing field?
Yeah. I mean, it's having an effect, isn't it? Because what it's doing at the moment, I think it's... it's stopping deals from being done at the moment as well, because...
I think we've lost Adrian. I think, Adrian, thank you for your call. We're going to have to let you go. Adrian, they're getting in touch from Edmonton. If you'd like to get in touch, that number, 0208 7020 558. He raises an interesting point, which is this fact that big clubs don't seem to be being linked with Lo Celso, apart from, obviously, Spurs. Is that good news in the sense that it's easier to get him, or is it worrying news in the sense that why aren't they prowling?
Is it news that it's a sign of how far down the line the deal actually is? I think that's probably what... No club now seems to want to bid for a player to be turned down, do they? And be seen to have failed to encourage... I mean, Manchester United are not going to go to Lyon and agree the fee and then have Ndombele say, sorry, not interested in you. No club can do that. So I think, you know, they talk to the player's agent. The player's agent's... say, look, he's more or less agreed this or that, and the clubs have just got to work on the fee. And I think that's how it works for all clubs now.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I'm quietly surprised how, teams like Manchester City and obviously, teams like Man City, Liverpool, I do believe they're probably looking for other players, not like Lo Celso or Ndombele. But I think Manchester United, teams like United have got so many issues all over the park in regards to the back four, so they need to focus on that, which is allowing us, obviously, going for these players like Ndombele and Lo Celso, and hopefully not have any other clubs trying to pull them away from us.
In the same way, look at Man United with Wan-Bissaka. I mean, you know, regardless of how he played for the under-21s, I think there's a lot of clubs would do, but there only seems to be Manchester United in there.
Why do
doing
you think
that.
Spurs aren't piling in for AWB?
In exactly the same way. I think maybe if they've been involved, they've had the word back from his people that, you know, if he wants to move, it's going to be to Old Trafford, and that's it. And you're not going to agree a fee with Palace for the agent to then turn around, as like I say, and say, sorry, he's not bothered about you. Mm.
Do you think that there's a lot of actual conversations going on between players' representatives and clubs across the Premier League?
Absolutely.
That we just don't hear about?
Absolutely. I mean, Arsenal are another one that you look at and think Bellerin's had a serious injury now, isn't he? They must need a right back because Bellerin won't be ready for the start of the season. They're another club that aren't in the least bit interested, seemingly, in Wan-Bissaka. I don't believe those clubs have not spoke to Palace or spoke to his representative. I think the word comes back, Jack Clark is being linked with Tottenham.
Yep.
Nobody else is going in. It just seems to be the way that it is.
So do you think we're seeing the end of the era of the good old-fashioned bidding war?
Well, I think at the minute, especially with this transfer, it does feel like things are kind of quiet, but then it's going to explode out of nowhere, maybe, this transfer market. That's the way it feels it might be going. This whole bidding war situation, I mean, as you said, maybe it is taking a turn. Obviously, a lot of the clubs, for example, Chelsea, City, have been warned on occasions now. Maybe they are finally getting to adjust with this.
You look at Christian Eriksen, and there's a case in mind. He obviously has been spoke to by Madrid. There's no other club seemingly in for Christian Eriksen. No Juve interested, no Bayern interested, no Manchester City interested. Can't tell me the only club that think Christian Eriksen's a good player is Real Madrid. But
well,
again, I think the word goes back.
There's a difference between thinking someone's a good player and wanting to sign them.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is. You see it a lot now where players are linked, but there seems to genuinely only be one club at the end of the day that's really going all out to sign the player.
Earlier in the negotiations, there were more clubs linked from Ndombele. We were hearing that Juve were interested, that United were interested. If there were an 11th hour bid made and Spurs found themselves in a bidding war, do you think Daniel Levy would go for that? Do you think he'd keep going higher and higher if he were convinced he was the right man?
I don't think so. I don't think Daniel's the sort of guy to... I mean, if he sees an offer on the table, which is going to blow us out the waters, I don't think the type of person to go and match that, unfortunately. Obviously, just on par situations with Mr. Levy.
You're right. I don't see Daniel Levy breaking what he thinks it is. But, you know, Alexis Sanchez is a prime example. The last time we saw a real bidding war, Manchester City pulled out when they could still afford him. But I think you reach a stage where you think, come on, this is, you know, if we value the player at 70 million and Manchester City come in and say we'll pay 95, then do you know what? You have to let him go. You can't just keep going, because at the start of the window, you'll have a figure you want to spend and you want to sign three or four players. And if you end up spending 25 million more on Ndombele, there's 25 million less for the next player.
And as we know, Daniel knows it's a business. Daniel, of all people, knows that Mr. Levy knows it is a business for him, obviously, and he knows how it runs.
Well, Spurs are very, very keen to sign a central midfielder of the deeper lying variety this summer. That's very well documented. And Ndombele is the only one who's really being heavily linked. So if you don't get him, what happens? Who do you turn to?
Trying to think of players now. out there, I mean, to be fair, central midfielders, I mean, again, we've been linked with Bruno Fernandes. That has kind of died down now. But in regards to that kind of holding role, Ndombele is the only player that we've been moved to. Whether we'll obviously look elsewhere if we need to, that's up to the club, obviously.
Oliver Skip, mate, gets a new contract, and Luke Amos is back from injury.
Well, you joke, but there might be some youngsters coming through. Later in the show, we will be talking about Troy Parrott. Coming up, I think it's time we get our teeth into Kieran Trippier.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio. And just a moment ago, we were saying that often now, when a player is linked with one club, he's linked with that club only. Well, we've got a Love Sport exclusive breaking for you, which is that Crystal Palace have contacted Fulham over Ryan Sessegnon. Tottenham haven't. You can head over to lovesportradio.com for more with James Gray. But what do you make of that? Are you surprised that in that instance, bigger clubs haven't been sniffing?
Well, with, for example, a player like Ryan Sessegnon, again, for someone like Palace, they'd improve him, definitely. And it's a statement of intent from them to say that, obviously, we're interested in some of the big boys that have been linked out there. I just feel that, obviously, with this window, there's, you know, these smaller teams might go over the big players. They need to make a statement this year, obviously, in regards to where the Premier League's at.
Would you like to see Spurs compete with them for Sessegnon, Jace?
I don't think we'll have to compete with Palace.
No, but compete in the sense of outbidding them and winning.
I think it will just get left. I think they're concentrating on Ndombele and maybe one of the other big ones. Once they know what they've spent on those and who's coming, who's staying, is Toby going for his 25, things like that. If Toby goes, do they have to go and buy another centre-half? I think the Sessegnon deal for Spurs plays out later in the window. It'll be interesting to see why Palace are making a push on Sessegnon. Do they, you know, does that suggest Townsend or Zaha finally making a move somewhere else?
Is it pivotal we sign Sessegnon? I mean, in my opinion, I don't feel as if it's a must-need signing on that left-wing position. As long as, in my opinion, if Danny stays, I don't think it's a must-signing Sessegnon. But
I think it feels. You know, we talked last year, didn't we, constantly of the depth of the squad and how many players at times we had injured. And so he helps with the depth of the squad. He's English, so you don't have the homegrown problem. So that helps us as well. And I think it's just he's a squad filler at this stage. But I mean, let's be honest, with the day we signed Dele Alli, who actually saw Dele Alli coming in being a first team player inside two or three games and being an England international inside two or three months? You just didn't see it. So, you know, I wouldn't count Ryan Sessegnon straight out of that just because of a year at Fulham and the under 21 game.
Well, when we're talking wing backs, let's have a look at the right hand side as well, because Kieran Trippier has been slagged off a fair bit by Spurs fans this season. We're hearing that Napoli are still interested in him. Would you let him go to Italy?
I feel with Trippier, in my opinion, I believe that he's come to his time of an end at Tottenham. I think he had a good couple of seasons. At the same time, he had Kyle Walker there, who was always pushing him, trying to make him obviously improve. He's had that kind of time there with obviously Ori at right back. I just feel that at the minute, we do need that kind of solidarity at right back, or obviously bringing through someone else. I just feel that we need that new blood. I mean, we've got Walker Peters, obviously, who's coming through as well. So there's also another youngster. But I just feel it's the end for Trippier. But obviously, I appreciate whatever he's done for Tottenham. He's been a good servant for the club.
Yeah, you're right. I think he has been a really good pro for us. I think he's been brutally honest of his own performances this year. In fairness to Kieran Trippier, he has had a really poor season. But I think he's a better player than what he's shown this season. But he's not a player that would bother me if he decides to go. It's a little, I think if the offer came in, if you got 25, 30 million for him, then I'd probably take that and try something else. But whether Daniel Levy will look at 25 million and say, no, you're going to have to pay 55 for him. I don't know.
Can Daniel work his own thing? Hopefully Daniel can work his magic and get a bit of money there on Trippier if we can. If anybody can do it, it's Levy. We've seen in the past players go for fees, which we can't believe, and Levy's pulled off some magic there. So if he does go, obviously, hopefully we'll get a good sum back on him, absolutely.
But all that talk seems to be that he wants an English club anyway, doesn't it?
I think there has been conversation about that, but ultimately, if he's told by Pochettino that he's not in his plans, if Pochettino signs another right back and the likes of United don't come in for Trippier, then I suppose you would go abroad.
It depends if he genuinely becomes available, whether a Newcastle, whether a Everton, whether a a Wolves or someone like that come in, you don't know.
Well, if you're Trippier, and I completely appreciate the appeal of staying in England, but would you go to Everton rather than playing Champions League football?
It's the move abroad, isn't it? It's how settled a family is. Do you want to take your kids abroad or something like that? So, I mean, Everton, let's be fair, Everton are a really good football club. Decent football club. And I put Everton as the next rung down, if you like. So, you know, I don't see if Kieran Trippier was promised 35 games at Everton.
If he ever went to a team like an Everton or a Newcastle, it wouldn't be a terrible move for the guy. I mean, he'd be going to clubs that obviously financially are well run, and also it's the stature of the club.
It's not West Ham, is it? I mean, you don't want to go that far.
Not quite.
Well, if Trippier does go, what are you thinking in terms of potential replacements? You're still being linked with Norwich City's teenage right-back Max Aarons. Do you think he'd be ready?
I've seen a bit of this Max Aarons guy. Obviously, he's got a lot of potential as well. I'll be honest, in my opinion, if we was to look at anybody, I'd love the Leicester right-back Perea. I think we was actually linked with him before he actually went to Leicester. I mean, obviously, I know he's settled in quite well there now, but that would be my first choice. Again, Wan-Bissaka's kind of been blown out the water by this United offer and how that's going on a saga. So at the minute, it's all a bit up in the air. I mean, this Max Aarons, again, he'd have to come in and be a youngster who'd have to be given the chance to really, really go and push on in that position.
It's hard to know, isn't it? Let's be fair. A year ago, when Sessegnon was at Fulham and they were into the playoff final, we were all hoping Fulham weren't going to come up so that we'd get the run to get Sessegnon. Everyone would have gone for it. And then you see him play for a year in a struggling team, and now everyone's iffy about it. We don't know how Max Aarons is. I think the best thing for him is to stay at Norwich and play a whole year at Norwich as a genuine player, and then let's have a look in 12 months.
And that's the best thing for Spurs, potentially, as well, because you don't take a multi-million pound punt on a player who's never played at the top level. You'd pay a bit more, but you could be more confident about exactly what it was you're signing.
Well, it can work both ways, can't you? As you say, you perhaps avoid a big fee now, but in 12 months, if he does have the type of year that suggests it, then maybe you're up then against Chelsea or Manchester City or Liverpool or whoever it is. Looking to Liverpool, obviously not with Alexander-Arnold, but maybe you're up against one of those clubs then when you could have had a more or less a freer run at him this year. It's the twos and fros, isn't it?
It's a very hard position because in the past we've been blessed with the wing back. I mean, obviously we used to have the days of Walker and Rose bombing forward. We've still missed that, and it's very, very hard thing to replace. Again, Aurier came in, he didn't work out as we was hoped. Again, we had a lot of potential and a lot of hope there with him, but it just hasn't worked out for us. So hopefully whatever happens, we can fill in that position there, or if Trips does stay, there can be a lot of improvement needed for him for sure.
Hopefully, and it really all comes down to how much he likes pasta, doesn't it? Coming up, a few more transfer rumours.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we've got a brand new feature for you. It's time for Legend of the Week. Sport. Gents, it's time for your first ever Tottenham Legend of the Week. Tottenham Legend of the Week. Who are you going for?
I'm going to go for a bit of a mad one. It's Diego Maradona.
Right. And how does he qualify as a Tottenham player, or indeed a player to have worn a Spurs shirt?
He played one testimonial game for us, Ozzy's testimonial, and he's definitely my favourite ever Spurs player. It was just...
Is he actually?
What?
Maradona, your favourite ever Spurs player?
Oh, absolutely. It was just my favourite Spurs player. One game.
Surely Hoddle gets in there.
Hoddle was close, but no, it was a fantastic night for Ozzy's testimonial 86 when we played Inter Milan. And the astonishing thing was, I was talking to Grant outside, and to see him and Hoddle on the same pitch, having never had a training session together, but the two of them on a wavelength way beyond anyone else on the pitch, could find each other with their backs to each other. Just instantly the football brain takes over and you're going to know where the other person is. Their understanding was just amazing. And then at 86 World Cup, the handball was never, ever, ever bothered me.
Really?
I see the second goal where he runs past the entire
can't say
team.
That. Is he not a cheat, Jace?
Every player cheats. I remember standing at Villa Park when Colin Calderwood punched one in and celebrating a goal. I didn't say you're a cheat, Colin. I mean, everyone's got a cheat in the side.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit before my time, Diego Maradona. But I mean, I actually went to see his new film that came out this Saturday. It was coming out this weekend. It was incredible to see how he went to Barcelona, how he kind of failed there. Took a move to Napoli, a team at a time who were being criticised by their nation just for the wealthiness of them, how poor they were, and he dragged the team from out of nowhere to go and win the title, and also done magical stuff with Argentina. What an incredible player he was. Yeah, that's my man I've chosen right there, Diego.
An extraordinary player, and of course someone who has previous of wearing a Spurs shirt, not just on the football pitch.
No, I think he was part of the backroom staff for the 4-1 against Liverpool 2 years ago when he was in the dressing room with Poch and Kane and that, and we saw what effect that had with a 4-1. What a shame that wasn't the Champions League final result.
What level do you think Maradona could play at now?
Oh, he'd be up there. Say, watching. Honestly, when I watched that film the other day,
I mean now.
Oh, now I mean, he would be up there man. With the Ronaldos, the Messis, the Hazards. He'd be up there, no doubt about it. In my opinion, not honestly.
As a 40-something-year-old,
he'd do. Yeah, stick him up front. Older. Still got those quick feet. Absolutely.
For me, he's the best player I've ever seen. I think everyone remembers your era. Before me, it would have been Pelé. Now, every kid and that, I understand, likes Messi. But for me, Messi's done nothing more from his talent than Maradona could have done, except Maradona's delivered a World Cup for Argentina and he's taken a nothing Napoli side to a league title. Yeah, and that's a big difference.
That was the special part of the story when I watched that. Very special story how he done that and nothing, and to turn him into winners is incredible.
And you could kick players.
Jace likes his topic of kicking them, absolutely.
You could kick players then. So Maradona, Messi doesn't get kicked like Maradona would have been, that's for sure.
Well, for all of those reasons, Diego Maradona is your first ever legend of the week. He did wear a Spurs shirt twice.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Jace McGovern and Grant Sachs of The Last Word on Spurs. We're talking transfers, but first, a quick update from the Women's World Cup. It is still Sweden 0, USA 1, and Thailand are holding on. It's Thailand 0, Chile 0. Remember, Thailand earlier in Group F conceded 13 against the USA. So a clean sheet would, I think, be cause for a knighthood for the entire back four.
The eighth looked offside to me that night.
I think that's the salient point.
That's the turning point.
It could prove a pivotal part when they look at the end of that league table when they go out. It could look a league.
When it comes down to goal difference and they're only 23 negative instead of 37.
Yeah.
Quite something. Interesting to see, by the way, whether there are any spontaneous buys in the women's game off the back of the World Cup. We see it in men's tournaments where if someone excels at a Euros or a World Cup, they can get a move. Have Spurs ever panic bought off the back of a good international campaign?
Ricky Villa, RDS, World Cup.
That's probably the best one off the back of a World Cup. Was Didier Zakora off the back of a World Cup?
Oh, I don't know.
Or did we sign him just before the World Cup or something like that? But can't think off the top of my head. There's really flop ones off of a World Cup.
Yeah.
El Hadji Diouf was a famous one off the back of a World Cup for Liverpool.
Probably.
Wasn't he? It was just awful. Didn't they also buy Salif Diaw? Weren't they both? Did they play in that Senegal side that beat France, I think? They took both of them and just neither of them were any use at Liverpool, that's for sure.
No, everyone seems to fall prey of it. Andre Arshavin got a move to Arsenal off the back of Euro 2008.
Oh, I've got one to shout. Was Pavlyuchenko possibly part of that maybe then as well?
Was he? Now, that's quite a good one. Tell you what, if you can think of any, get in touch. 0208 7020 558. You can call us or you can WhatsApp in as well. Let's talk some more transfers. We discussed earlier that there are no real bidding wars yet in the transfer window. Well, could we be yet to see one within North London? Spurs are being linked with Sampdoria defender Joachim Anderson, who's also heavily linked with both Arsenal and Lyon. Could you send out a signal by beating those clubs off for a player?
I don't believe we're linked with him, so it's just
you don't believe
it. I just don't believe it. No, once you're apparently linked with four clubs, I think that tells you it's the agent that's trying to place his player, and nobody's really making a move. So no, I don't see that one at the moment at all.
I think it's pretty worrying if we are, because you'd like to hope that we're going to hang on to Toby Alavira instead of bringing that new centre-half at the moment. If he was bringing a big centre-half name now, you'd expect that that could be a signal that Toby's off out the door very, very soon.
Do you think that is the logical conclusion?
Well, at the minute, the crazy thing is that no one's gone in for Toby. They know that £25 million release clause is sitting there. I'm really surprised Manchester United, of all clubs, haven't. I'd like to think Toby would think to himself, I'm at a club at the minute which are doing better than someone like Manchester United. But again, someone like Alavira, he'd walk into a Real Madrid, he would walk into a PSG. He is that good.
I'm not so sure he is that good.
You don't think so?
Hang on. Let's knuckle down onto this. Grant, for you, where does he rank in Europe centre-halves?
He's as good, in my opinion, he's as good as Virgil van Dijk. I'll put him there. Honestly believe that.
So you think he's effectively the best centre-half in world football?
I wouldn't say he's the best centre-half in world football.
So van Dijk's not the best centre-half?
He would fit in any team. Like a Real Madrid, a PSG, a Liverpool, a Manchester City, he would fit in any of those teams' back fours without a doubt.
Interesting. Jace, where do you rank him?
Don't get me wrong, I think he's a top-class defender, but I don't place him in front of Van Dijk. I think I've always said it, he has a weakness aerially that a centre-half for me of supposedly world-class standing shouldn't have that weakness. But don't get me wrong, I hope Toby stays. Mm. I do like Toby, but I'm no longer in the opinion that he's a real world-class defender. He's fantastic on the ground. His reading of the game and things like that is excellent, but I don't think he's right up there in the top few.
So, Jace, would you let him go?
For £25 million now, I'd sooner keep him. For the £65 million that was talked about last year, I'd have let him go for the £65 million. But not for £25 million, I think, no, you're better to stick with it. And hopefully he signs a new deal. Like I say, I like Toby. People think I don't. I like him, but I don't put him in that real top echelons anymore.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'll be honest, obviously, in my era, of all the centre-halves we've had, obviously, he's up there with Ledley, in my opinion, as a long pass. So I would love to see Daniel obviously offer him that new contract. Again, if you let him go for 25 mil, it will hurt. Again, who are you going to bring in that is as solid? And again, what signal does that leave out to the team that we're letting someone of his stature go and we're trying to move on to that next level? It's a hard one.
I think the interesting thing with Toby is when it was Jan and Sanchez last year, Sanchez looked a much better player than he did when it was Toby and Sanchez. So maybe Toby does need that solid person alongside him that kind of doesn't talk
him.
You through a game, but compliments. So when he has to be that lead defender, he's not quite as comfortable in that role.
No.
We've had a WhatsApp into the show suggesting that Jurgen Klinsmann was signed on the back of the 94 World Cup.
Excellent shout.
Don't know who it was. Remember, if you want
Dumitrescu. Ili Dumitrescu would have been. So we got both sides of that then.
Yeah, we've had that suggestion. Another Romanian as well, Popescu.
Popescu, come on that, yep.
You went to work. Let's not talk about the time Alan Sugar brought Klinsmann back. how that one went away. Absolutely.
Popescu goes down as well as a great one because he scored a winning penalty against Arsenal in a UEFA Cup final, I think it was. So
that, you got it. You got
along with Naeem, that becomes gets you a little bit of a legendary status.
On that, do the players who featured for Spurs in their first ever Champions League final attain legendary status just by virtue of having been there, having been a part of it?
Cool, that's a good shout. They will certainly go down in history as taking Tottenham further. Whether they'll quite be it's Kieran Trippier go down as a legendary status. I think somewhere Lucas probably it will be known not as the team that played in the final, it will be known as the team that won in Ajax. Lucas Moura will obviously now go down as a legend and things like that, but probably not the team that played in the final. No,
again, someone obviously like Lucas Moura, he'll forever live long in this era of Tottenham. Obviously, he's had a real legend of the club. Obviously, hopefully, another player that will start us for a very long time. But there's a few of them players I definitely pick that I believe have been fantastic servants and always be remembered as Tottenham players and legends.
How many players in this current squad have the potential to grow to legend status? Because there's quite a few there.
If you're talking numbers, three or four. I mean, you've got players like Sissoko's come out the blue out of nowhere and is loved by a lot of Tottenham fans. Hugo, again, has been at us for a long time. And towards the end of the season, he pushed on, saved a couple of penalties, done a fantastic job. Obviously, players like Harry are in there. So there's a few players in there that definitely have got the potential to be Tottenham greats, absolutely.
Yeah. People, Stefan Freund gets called a Tottenham legend. He's nowhere near a Tottenham legend for me. So I think it's down to the individual as well sometimes.
What is required to attain that legendary status?
Well, you've got players obviously like Jonathan Woodgate, who scores a goal in a Carling Cup final in 2011. And obviously, you never forget those moments. You never forget the person who scored that goal. So anybody obviously involved in those big moments, the semi-finals, the finals, obviously are always treasured, those memories, absolutely.
Well, that's a very odd thing, because for me, from an England perspective, Kieran Trippier is a name I will always remember, because I think in my life so far, our producer's looking at me like, what on earth are you on about? In my life so far, I think that free kick against Croatia, I celebrated that more than I've celebrated any other goal in my life.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I've celebrated Eunice Kabul's winner at the Emirates,
yeah.
But I certainly don't think of Eunice Kabul as a legend.
Someone has just tried to WhatsApp into the show, which we appreciate. You can get in touch, 0208 7020 558. And instead of posing a question, they've accidentally WhatsApped us a picture of their dinner, which I must say looks absolutely lovely. We've got a sort of grilled chicken breast there, a bit of coleslaw, potato salad, raw red onion, which... questionable, a nice little cucumber and tomato salad, and what looks like, what I'm hoping, is a bit of hummus.
The hummus is always tasty.
Of the plate. If you'd like to send us more of your meals, we'll rate them out of 10. This one gets 6.8, a valiant effort, but also if you'd like to talk about Tottenham, that would be lovely as well. What do you rate his dinner out of 10?
I think based on presentation, he's definitely pulled it out of the bag.
Legendary status?
I'm not sure about the quality of food just yet. Only he can tell us that.
Let's give Jace a proper look here. We've got the chicken. We've got the potato salad. Potatoes possibly slightly undercooked.
I was hoping the tomatoes were chilli. That would have finished it up a level. That would have taken it up a level, yep. Bit of chilli in it.
And there's also, I know some people are a bit odd about their food being in contact. All the different parts of this dish are in contact with each other. You've got your chicken on the coleslaw on the potatoes. You know what? I'm going to up it. We'll call it a 7.
It's in contact when it comes out the other end, mate.
It's a real deep analysis, this, absolutely.
It is. Absolutely. I've actually really enjoyed that. Yeah. Thank you, whoever sent that in. I think we better talk about some more transfers before we get proper dinner in. And just a reminder that if you are going to send questions about Spurs or pictures of your dinner, do leave your name so we know it's you. Let's talk about Jack Clarke. He's this teenage winger from Leeds. The rumours aren't going away. Do you think he's actually that good? Do you think he's 20 million quid's worth of good? Or is he a homegrown player in a slot that Spurs need to fill?
Bits of both, I think. You know, the homegrown thing does come into it. I think I saw him play one game on Sky. I think it was the Leeds Derby game earlier in the season, not the playoff games. And he was absolutely fantastic. Just after that, I think he had that illness at Middlesbrough when he collapsed on the bench. Didn't see much. So I'm basing it on what I've seen for one game. But yeah. Daniel James, I saw score one goal against, what was it? Wasn't it the famous goal against Brentford? Man United have paid 15 million. That kind of suggests what the fee for Jack Clarke should be. You're probably at that level.
Do you think we're getting to a point now where for any young player who's decent at football, who counts as homegrown, 20 million, we start there?
Well, United have just paid 15, haven't they?
Is he Welsh or is he English?
Well, Premier League-wise, it's a homegrown player, isn't it? Like Ben Davies, he's homegrown for Premier League.
Yeah.
And Man United are probably nowhere near a Champions League place to worry about it at the moment. So.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, we were saying again a couple of weeks ago about these prices, obviously, on these youngsters. Again, at the minute, the prices even for some of these young lads, they're going at astronomical prices. I mean, again, with a player like Jack Clarke, you're putting it, again, we'd be putting our eggs in, not in all in one basket, but you'd be thinking that it'd be along the lines of you're hoping it'd be like another Dele Alli.
Could that happen?
Hard thing about the value of a young player like that is, I mean, let's say it's 20 million. If he's that good a player and he's the type of person that Leeds can get fired to promotion, then that's worth a lot more than the 20 million, isn't it? You look at Jack Grealish. We all argued about him being a £25 million player, but he's been a lot more worth to Villa than £25 million now by coming up. So it's hard to know.
Love Sport's very own Martin Bell has messaged into the show with, firstly, an absolutely terrible selfie. And secondly, he's mooting Teddy Sheringham for his Legend of the Week. Where does he rank for you two?
Oh, Teddy was fantastic. I mean, looking back at some of his goals for us, a lot of memorable goals. Scored against all the big boys. Couldn't have asked more of Mr. Sheringham. Obviously, had spells with United as well, and came back to the club to help us out in a time of need when he was really, really struggling. So, yep, Teddy, forever loved and forever remembered at Tottenham Hotspur for sure.
Yep. I've interviewed Teddy. He's a very nice boy as well. Very, very cheery man.
That's good to hear. legend at Stevenage for a little bit.
Our Stevenage producing supporter. Producing supporter? Supporting
not quite.
Producer.
He's on his head the other way, not quite.
And he's in England, had a fantastic England career as well, didn't he, Teddy? And the Holland game, the 4-1 Holland game, you know, certainly remembered for that, that's for sure.
Beyond just the necessity of those homegrown rules, how much does it bother you? How much are you proud to have English players in that Spurs team?
Well, England international players, you mean?
Or just English. I mean, Skip, by the same token.
I must admit, it probably affects me more when I'm watching England, because last summer I had far more interest in watching the England side than I did when it was full of Liverpool and Man United players. I think the pride comes when you're watching England rather than the funny thing with that is as soon as they're picked for England, everyone's like shouting out like, oh, why are they picking our players and we don't want them to play?
Yeah, it's the injury, obviously, the fear of injury. But I do remember a game years ago when I think we played Germany, we came out to win 3-2. All the Tottenham boys are playing, I think, in that game. Harry, Dele, Eric Dyer at the time.
And Eric Dyer scored.
He was in top
form.
Dyer scored the header. So that was a night. I remember that night and being very proud to say that's our boys out there scoring the goals and producing the magic moment. Yeah, absolutely.
And the way that World Cup went, you said about Trippier, Dyer with the winning penalty, Harry Kane with a golden boot. You do feel it, but then when it goes wrong like it did at the previous Euros, you sit there and you think, why are our players the ones getting the blame for everything?
Yeah, very, very true. Let's have a look at the next Spurs Academy prospect who could make it. Troy Parrott, very highly rated. We're hearing he could be handed an increased role next season under Pochettino, could be involved in the pre-season tour, could be in that Premier League squad. Do you think he's ready?
It's hard to know yet. Hard to know of any player. Again, there was other youngsters in there like Keziah Sterling, who was upcoming last season, didn't really get the break. But again, I've had a look at Troy. I've seen Robbie King come out and obviously say that he looks very talented, but he needs his own time. Let him become his own type of player. He actually said, not the next me. I want him to be the next Troy Parrott, because he believes he's got the talent there to be that. Again, 9 goals, 3 assists in only 6 games in the Youth Premier League. He's definitely showing it in the lower league. So hopefully he could break through and could be a big, big boy for Tottenham.
I think that, you know, he's certainly the most hyped one since Marcus Edwards, and look what's gone wrong for Marcus Edwards. So just, I mean, you're right, you just let him go on that pre-season tour. Hopefully we start to get an idea when he goes, you know, does he get a Carling Cup, a Carabao Cup game or something like that? And then it's just a slow pro. But I'd be surprised if he started 5 games next year.
But is he worth a gamble? In the sense that Spurs are being linked with a potential backup striker, rather than spending £50 million on Maxi Gomez as backup. If you've got a kid who could come off the bench, worth a go?
I think so. I mean, we don't know at the moment where we're at with even Fernando Llorente or Vincent Janssen. I mean, they're little, from what we're hearing, a couple of them are stuck out in the wilderness. We don't know what their situation is going to be at us next season, or if they'll be a Tottenham player. So I'm all up for giving you for chance. And obviously these youngsters can come through. Look at someone like, I'm going to say his name, Harry Kane, out of nowhere. Came out, made fireworks for the club, and is now he's obviously probably nearly gained that legendary status already.
Exactly, and you know, he's a player that when he first got into the side, everyone was like, oh, he's bang average, Kane.
Yeah,
I mean, he's clumsy, he looks a donkey, and he might get the odd goal, but that's about it. And now look at Harry Kane. So I think with young players, you just don't know the speed they'll develop at and things like that.
Before Kane, who's the last great person to come through the academy for you? Is it Ledley?
It's got to be Ledley.
Yeah, has to be Ledley King. I mean,
great. I mean, Harry Winks is what you want from your academy players. He's come through to the first team, and I genuinely think Harry Winks is a first team player for us, and he's probably now in our strongest side. But yeah, I suppose Ledley's the one before Harry Kane, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to think of any other ones that have really come in and been a real, as on par with someone like Harry, because Ledley came in at a time of need and really gave us that centre half that we needed, someone who could literally replace the one we lost in regards to quality and what he was going to bring us.
Lots of pundits reckon that the era of the one club man is effectively over. Do you think Harry Kane is going to stay at Spurs till he retires?
I think it depends how the club goes. I wouldn't say he'll be there till he's 35 or something, but I think we will need to kick on as a club and start delivering some silverware for him. Not necessarily at the end of this year, but I think, you know, if he breaks that goal record and he still has nothing to show for it, then maybe he will fancy a payday in Madrid or a payday somewhere else or something.
Well, I mean, I think the only way I'd like to see Harry leave is if he's won everything at Tottenham and he goes to play in Japan or goes to play in America in the MLS. That's the only way I'd like to ever see if he's going to go. Because, again, the only way Harry Kane will stay is obviously if we achieve our goals, which is to win a Premier League or win these big, big start titles. Because there's no way you can justify keeping a player of his quality if you're not going to push it and win stuff.
Would you resent it if he went to another English club?
I don't think he'd do that.
I
don't think he would do. I think if it was to be somewhere else, it will be one of the Spanish clubs or something like that at this stage.
Well, we can only hope that Harry Kane does become England's next great one-club man. We can hope that Troy Parrott comes through as well and that Spurs make a few excellent signings to add to the mix. Join us next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.